Amen. I have said in the past that revival is taking a subnormal church and God pouring out His grace on that church to restore it to normal New Testament power and practice. God will often chasten you if you are one of His people. And He does that by bringing down the level of grace that you have to live your Christian faith. And when He brings down that grace in your life, that results in your living and witnessing below the kind of grace that was in the book of Acts from Pentecost in Jerusalem all the way to Rome. Now, I'm not talking about a revival of the revelatory sign gifts of the apostles, 2 Corinthians 12:12. They were ordained of God to fulfill His purpose for that apostolic era of the church age. But rather, I'm speaking of the preaching and fruit of the gospel. Listen to me this afternoon, resulting in radically changed lives who are filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That's the revival you need.
Right.
And I'm talking this afternoon about your part in that, your revival prayer. Your revival prayer. And in the book of Lamentations, which we've been reading, the prophet Jeremiah had been crying and weeping and lamenting about God's chastening of His people, the Jewish remnant in Jerusalem and in Judea. And you know what? We think about America, the once great America. Well, Jeremiah was crying because of the once great Judea, the once great Israel, the once great Jerusalem. It was no longer there. And we find in the last chapter of his lamenting a prayer. And it's like a jewel that you take out of the ground, like a diamond that you turn and it glistens. And I want to read that prayer to you in one short verse, verse 21 of chapter 5 of Lamentations. Here's what it says. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. You who are revival seekers this afternoon in our day would do well to pluck that gem out of the melancholy lamentations of the prophet. Hold that gem up in verse 21 and use it to seek revival here at Scranton Revival Baptist, and do it from the merciful and the faithful God that we serve. Because in this one text, we see a prayer for revival that has three important elements. The first is the person of revival. The second is the petition for revival. And the third is the performance of revival. Therefore, let's take this gem out of the prophetic word of God. Let's use it as a key prayer so that we can unlock the treasure house of God's promises to you who are here to do something about this matter of a need for revival. We can help to make America great again. You can be part of it through your revival prayer in Lamentations 5:21. And so I'd like to first of all look with you at verse 21 at the person of your revival praying. Notice these words in verse 21 of Lamentations 5. It says, O Lord, capital L-O-R-D in your King James Bible. Notice that word describing God of the Bible is the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Now, sometimes in your King James Bible, the word Lord, L-O-R-D, is capital L, small o, small r, small d. In that spelling of Lord or God, it is one of God's names that has to do in the Hebrew with the word Adonai. And Adonai speaks of God, listen to me, as the supreme ruler of the universe. He is the judge of all the world. He is the God who brings judgment. He controls everything in the entire universe. But here in this prayer for revival, Lamentations 5:21, the prophet doesn't use that word, Adonai, Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L, small O-R-D. It uses capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This word, Lord, refers in the King James Bible to the God of Israel, who has entered into a covenant of grace, of promise with the fathers of Israel. That is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of course King David. So you're not shown in this prayer for revival a supreme ruler and judge, capital L, small r, D, Adonai, Lord. You're listen to me, you're introduced to L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that corresponds to the Hebrew word for God, which is YHWH. Now, YHWH is the Hebrew name for God, translated capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The King James Bible actually gives you the way to pronounce that YHWH. Because you see, in the Hebrew, there are no vowels. So the King James translator, under the inspiration guidance of the Holy Spirit, giving us the inspired Word of God now in English, it supplied the vowels. And guess what? The King James translators translated that word, Lord, capital L-O-R-D. It's the word Jehovah. He is Jehovah. And the person of the living God who is here represented in verse 21 of chapter 5 of Lamentations is represented really by the name Jehovah. He is the person that we're going to get revival from. It's not going to come from Pastor Bloom. It's not going to come from Deacon so-and-so. It's not going to come from some member of this church or any other church. It's not going to come because we deserve it. It's going to come from the gracious God, Jehovah God, who made these promises because he's gracious, who made these promises because he's faithful, and he's going to perform the promises. So if we're going to have revival, beloved, I believe we have to have a revival of the understanding of the name of God. Don't take his name in vain. Don't fail to understand his name. The Hebrew people, when they translated the name of God, they would wash themselves and they would take the pen and write his name down. Then they washed themselves again. They took it very seriously. And we ought to take the name of Jehovah God very seriously. These promises for revival, beloved, that are in our Bible are based totally on God's grace, and not on any person deserving of them. You say, well, what are you talking about? Listen, in Genesis chapter 15, when God spoke to our forefather Abraham, he made a covenant with him. And when an ancient covenant was made, listen to me, it was a formal agreement that would say, I am going to fulfill what I promised you, Abraham. And what they would do with a covenant, they would take animals and kill them and cut them in half. And they'd put one half of the animal here, one half there, one half of this animal here, one half there, one half of this one there, one half there. And the people that were agreeing to this covenant between themselves, the two people, they would walk between the animals. And by doing that, they were saying, we better fulfill our part in this covenant, or we're going to be cut in half. Or we're going to be cut like these animals are cut. And when God made a covenant with Abraham, he didn't say, Abraham, now let's walk between these animals together with a theophany and me and you. We're going to... No. What did he do? He put Abraham on the sideline and he went to sleep. And God himself walked through. And that tells you and I, beloved, that God is the one who performs these promises in this book. He makes sure that they're performed. And he will perform all of his promises to Abraham. All of his promises to Isaac and all of his promises to Jacob, no matter what Israel deserves or doesn't deserve. It doesn't depend on them. And by the way, the promises in the Word of God for the churches for revival does not depend on our worthiness, but on the name of Jehovah our God. That is the prayer for revival. The person is Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And don't forget that. But since God does that, in this prayer for revival, you may be sure that your gracious Jehovah God, who promises to bless you all through the Bible, and he promised to bless the seed of Abraham, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the nation Israel, that God hears your prayer for revival when you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. By the way, do you know the Lord Jesus said that he is the Jehovah of the Old Testament?
Right.
And the Pharisees were going to take up stones to stone him. And so it says in verse 21 of Lamentations chapter 5, it says, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned." It is our God that turns us, our Lord that turns us. And God made these promises concerning Israel. And you know what? I've been preaching on these promises. How many of you have heard the messages I've been preaching on Israel and Gaza and what's going on over there? Do you realize that God made promises to Israel that he would give them the land from the river to the sea? You know how they're talking about the river to the sea? You know what that means today, don't you? One of the men tell me, what does it mean when Palestinian people say from the river to the sea? What are they saying when they say, what is Rashida Tlaib saying when she says that? What is Nasrallah, what is he saying?
It's anti-Semitism against the Jews.
Yeah, he's saying eliminate and kill every last Jew that lives between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River. But God didn't say, I'm giving you Jewish people. Listen to me and listen to me well. Jehovah God did not say, I'm giving you from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River. God said, I'm giving you from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. And after this war is over, that's what they're going to possess. Did you hear me? You say, how do you know? God said it in Psalm 83. Read it. I've been preaching on it. Damascus, Syria, get out of there because it's going to be gone. How do you know that? Isaiah 17, 1 verses 1 through 9. We already found out what's going to happen in Gaza. I already talked about that in Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7. It tells you right directly what already happened. It's been fulfilled. It's being fulfilled right now. It rolled off the parchment and hit the pavement. I'm saying to you, all of these things that are prophesied are now beginning to be rolled off the parchment onto the pavement of fulfillment. And I've been preaching on it for 15 years. But now I'm living to see it. You know why I'm living to see it? Because Jehovah God promised it. His name backs these promises. I am not preaching based on current events. I hear these Bible teachers, oh, it might happen this way, it might happen that way. No, I'm looking at the book. And if it's in the book, it'll eventually roll out onto the pavement of fulfillment. I'm a preacher of the book, beloved. And the name of God backs this book. He's exalted his word above his name. Why? Because his name is no good if his word isn't good. But his word is good. And he is showing that right now in the Middle East. And he will show it with the Gog and Magog war that will follow in Ezekiel 38. Now listen to me and listen to me well. Here's what it says in Psalm 83 and what it says in Ezekiel 38, 23. Psalm 83, 18 and Ezekiel 38, 23. He says that what's going on in the Middle East and Israel winning these wars. By the way, you say, are you for the Jew and you're not for the Arab people? Are you? No, Christ will save all people. But he's chosen the Jewish people to reach the world. And so you have to submit. Who is the God generally of the people that are the descendants of Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau? By the way, he is not the God of Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau. That is not Jehovah. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I thank God, I believe Ishmael became a believer. Amen? But the descendants of Israel, they don't believe in Jehovah God. Who do they believe in? Allah. They believe in Allah. And Muhammad, the false prophet, he wanted to unite his people so they would all serve him. And they had 360 gods. One of them was a god named Manat, who was the sun god. And then the wife of Manat, I believe it was the wife, was Allah, the moon god. And they got together and had all these other gods. He had 360 gods, and all the Arabs were fighting each other. He said, I want them united. And so guess what? He came up with the moon god, the crescent moon. You know how they have that. The moon god is the highest god. He's the main god. And everything else is subservient. And you should accept him as your god. And if you don't, we'll have a jihad and kill you and rape you and plunder you. That is Islam. That's the Quran. That is not Jehovah. So, what is going on in the Middle East right now, predicted in Psalm 83, and will happen in the Gog-Magog War, the nations right now that are hating Israel and want to get rid of them. But by the way, Iran just met with Saudi Arabia, so the Shiite Muslims are getting together with the Sunni Muslims on it. They both agree on one thing, like Pilate and Herod, kill the Jew. Kill the Jew. You say, why do they want to kill the Jew? Because God knows and Satan knows salvation comes through the Jew. Because Jesus came from the Judah. And what I'm saying to you is that they want to kill the Jew and get rid of them. And this is what that the leader from Saudi Arabia said. As the leader from Iran, they just met together and they agreed on. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 83 that the Sunni Arabs that surround Israel are all going to attack, or all going to get in this war with Israel eventually. And Israel's going to win it. And then after that, Israel's going to be prosperous. And then the outer ring of Islamic nations like Turkey and the former Soviet Union's Tajikistan and all those stands, along with Iran and some northern African nations, they're going to all unite to fight Israel. And all I'm saying to you is God says that he's going to give the victory. And here's what he says in Psalm 83. He says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over the earth. In other words, when this war finishes and Israel takes the land from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates, everybody's going to know that it's not Allah. It's Jehovah that did that. Even though he used the IDF to do it. Do you hear me? And then when a greater nation that has way more soldiers than the defense force of Israel comes from Russia and the former Soviet Union and Turkey and reconstituted Iran after many years, when they come down, Israel cannot defend itself. There's no way. God Almighty is going to send an earthquake. God Almighty is going to make them fight one another because they have different languages. And they're going to kill each other. And they're going to be defeated. And it says that the result of that in Ezekiel 38:23 is, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God's getting ready to give Islam a haircut.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to give Islam a haircut. And he's going to mow the grass, Brother Eric. He's going to mow the grass. He's getting ready to mow the grass. You say, well, why would God do that? He says it right here. He wants people to know Islam is a lie. You say, well, that's not good for the Palestinian people. That's not good to have Israel do that. Let me tell you, it is good if they get freed from Islam.
That's right.
Islam's taking them to hell.
That's right.
It is good for them. They've been lied to by Muhammad.
Right.
They've been lied to by the devil. It's a religion of hate. It's not the truth. And you don't love people if you don't tell them the truth.
That's right.
And so I'm just saying to you that thank God we have a group of revival seekers prayer meeting. And at the beginning of that prayer meeting, the pastor led us to pray for the Lord to do something that could not be humanly explained in the city of Scranton, that God would be glorified. Not Pastor Ware, not Pastor Bloom, not any man, but Jehovah God. And that's why I believe in revival. I'm basing it on the person of God, Jehovah. That he will do it for his name's sake.
Right.
Not because I deserve it. I deserve nothing but a place in hell. Not because you deserve it. You deserve nothing but a place in hell. But because God has raised up the church of Jehovah Jesus to glorify the name of God during this time. And so we're praying for revival. We're seeking for revival to get us back to the old time religion, back to the old time gospel, so that God would be glorified. And that's what you should be praying for in your country, the USA. That's what we should be praying for in the Middle East right now with the nation of Israel. And that's what we should be praying for in this church. Scranton Revival. Listen, you're here for a higher purpose than your little desires and my little desires. We're here to glorify God. And so I'm just saying, God has through the years demonstrated his faithfulness to perform his covenant. By the way, in the book of Exodus, Moses said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am that I am. I'm the self-existent, God who has always been. And I don't depend, I'm independent of everybody." And then he said, "Well, what's your name?" He said, "And my name is the Lord." You know what that name, Lord, is? Capital L-O-R-D. That's the name he revealed himself to Abraham. But he said, "Something I didn't do from Abraham, Moses, that I'm going to show you right now. I didn't demonstrate how I am going to come through, and I'm going to come through in a big time way for Israel when they got down in Egypt." And listen, when we're in, as Patty said tonight, we're in a low state. This country's in a low state. But that's when God loves to get the glory. He loves to break through. And so it's dependent on the person of God. That's what we're talking about. And number two, I want you just to see the petitions of the revival that you need. It says in Lamentations 5:21, listen to this, "Turn thou us unto thee." So the first step in God giving you revival of his presence and power, like in the book of Acts, is that he moves within you to turn your heart back to him. Has he done that in your life? Is he doing that in your life? I believe he is. If you're a revival seeker, God's doing that in your life. You say, "Well, what's stirring us up to pray? What's going on in America? What's going on in your life that should stir you up to pray?" In fact, I'm going to read to you from Exodus and show you when Israel went through their hardship that they were stirred up to pray. Look at verse 23 of Exodus 2. And here's what it says, and I'll read it and you follow. It says, in verse 23, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage." Have you been sighing because they've been stealing our elections? I said, have you been sighing because they've been stealing our elections? Have you been sighing because they've been giving us a killer jab to kill us? Have you been sighing because we don't see the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ like our forefathers saw it in days gone by, and the great churches of days gone by? Are you ever sighing and crying to God for that because of the bondage? Are you crying because they're trying to get the anointed president and they put in an imposter in there who's run by another imposter by the name of Obama? Are you crying because of that? Are you sighing because of that? Do you see that? You know, there are people that tell me I can't talk like that. Well, try to stop me then. Maybe you can, but I'm not going to stop. You may stop me, but I'm not stopping. You see the difference? And so they sighed and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered what? How great they were, how faithful they were. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And it says, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Have you been sighing? Have you been crying? Have you been meeting with Revival Seekers? We had 10 people at Revival Seekers prayer meeting. 10 men. That tells me something. God's doing something. I think of the great revival in 1859, before the Civil War. A man, Jeremiah Lamphere, in New York City, began to meet and have a prayer meeting. Had a few people come to that prayer meeting. It grew and it grew. And pretty soon businesses shut down in New York. Pretty soon a great revival swept through New York City and swept all over America before the Civil War and saved our nation. Listen to me, when war comes and problems come, the greatest thing we've got is petitioning our God for a revival of the old time religion. You could do that. I can do that. And so the petition is, turn thou us unto thee. We need to pray that God would turn us back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By the way, you know, when parents gave people names, it meant something in the Bible. Abraham, you know what his name means? Father of what? Many. And didn't he fulfill that name because of God? Hey, do you know what revival means? Do you know our church is named Scranton Revival Baptist Church? Hey, do you know who in 1971 raised his hand and said, I move that this fellowship be called Scranton Revival Baptist? You know who did that? Moi. Now, I did it because of the vision of our pastor. I knew that's what he had wanted and what he had preached, but I made the motion. It was seconded and voted, and that's what we became. That was about 52 years ago or so. About 52 years ago. Listen to me, beloved. A name means something. Scranton Revival. God remembers these things. God doesn't forget. Why? Because He's gracious. Why? Because He's faithful. We have a name to live. And God wants us to live up to that name. Brother Joe certainly understands that. Brother Joe is in those Revival Seekers prayer meetings. You know, it's interesting how God's preserved us all these years. I think of Israel. He preserved them in the wilderness for 40 years. He brought two men through that 40 years. And then in their 80s, they went in and fought and got the promised land. God's preserved Brother Joe, and He's preserved Pastor Bloom like Joshua and Caleb. And guess what? We are here ready to fight for and pray for revival. How about you? Are you petitioning God for a great revival? Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed and God gave rain. He prayed and God withheld the rain. He can do it again, and he uses men. God did it in the past. He can do it again. He uses men. Don't forget that. The Bible says, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thank God, God has not consumed us. He could have gotten rid of me a long time ago. I don't deserve to be here. But I am here. And Israel doesn't deserve to be here, but they are here. And guess what? That's because He's the Lord. He does not change. And guess what? You're here. Even though you don't deserve to be here this morning, you're here because God preserved you in Christ Jesus to be here, beloved. That's why you're here, Karen. You're here to petition Jehovah God for a Scranton revival. a Scranton Revival Baptist Revival. That's what we're praying for. A soul-winning, life-changing work of Almighty God. And let me hasten on and say this. There is not only the person of revival, Jehovah God, not only the petitions of revival that we just talked about. And by the way, when you petition God for revival, I'll quote what my wife said to the ladies, don't limit God. I'll quote what Kyle said when he preached the one time I had him preach, don't put a cap on God. He's able to do beyond what you can ask or think. He's able to bring glory in this church. He's able to cause Israel to inherit the land. And I believe he'll do it. He is that God. And you and I are to petition him, and he will perform it. And that brings me to verse 21, the last part of it. It says, turn us unto thee, and we shall be turned. Can I say something this afternoon? When God turns the tide, if you're at the ocean, can you stop the tide? No. My dad used to have something, and he used another phrase, but he said, you're like flatulence in the whirlwind or the tornado. He said, your ranting and raving is like, you know what? A flatulence in the tornado. That's what we are when it comes to resisting revival. Listen, you're not fighting. If you're fighting the God of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, you're not fighting Scranton Revival Baptist Church. We're just a bunch of people. You're fighting the God of Scranton Revival. You're fighting Jehovah God. Good luck.
That's right.
I am saying that he says, turn us, God. You got to turn us. And we shall be turned. Listen, Pharaoh tried to stop God. And he got 10 plagues. And finally, they had to let him go from Egypt. And then he tried to chase him with his army. And God drowned him in the Red Sea and brought Israel through. Pharaoh sailed. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. By the way, all this opposition to Donald Trump, they're trying to put him in jail, they're suing him, they're trying to take his business away. Why do you think they're doing this? Because they're of Satan and they don't want Trump in there. That tells you vote for the guy right there. That just tells me right there I'm going to vote for him. And you know what? If this is of God, everything they do will fail and it will roll off him like water off a duck's back. And he will go in the White House. And Obama will be still ripped and stripped of his not faithful presidency. And I'm glad I'm still here to say that.
Amen.
I haven't stopped saying it.
Amen.
I'm just saying to you, the performance. He's a God who performs. Look at when the Jewish people who didn't believe, they tried to stop Jesus Christ. They even murdered him. They had him murdered by the Romans. But guess what? He rose from the dead. Jehovah Jesus rose from the dead. And then when they tried to stop him, even after they killed him and he rose from the dead, they paid money to lie about it. He sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And guess what? The Holy Ghost is more to deal with than just one Jesus in one place, because now Jesus is everywhere. He's being preached through the whole world. You can't stop him, my friend. You can't stop. And guess what? They're trying to stop the Jews. They want to wipe every Jew out. Why? Because they want to stop the Jew Jesus from coming back. But guess what? They're not going to stop his second coming. He is coming back again. And the Bible said everybody wants Jerusalem. That guy in Nasrallah, he wants Jerusalem. The guy in Iran, he wants Jerusalem. They all want Jerusalem. But guess what? The Pope wants Jerusalem. The UN wants Jerusalem. But guess what? Jesus is going to reign. In Jerusalem! On the holy hill in Zion! Praise God for that! God, Jehovah, performs all of his promises! Mark it down, beloved! He performs them! And therefore, you need to really be encouraged, because that's your God. Jesus of the Jews came to bless the world. The seed of Abraham. And I'm one of those in the world that have accepted him. And you are too if you have. If you haven't, turn to him. If you have, you call upon the person of your God for revival. You petition him for revival. And know that he can and will perform revival for us. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He'll use men. Thank God. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. First of all, if you have